Right, morning. Right, now I'm actually going to update you a little bit of what's going on with the drop-in services, but it's actually a bit more than that. God has actually been saying to us in recent months, I guess over the past sort of 9-10 months, that he wants us to offer inner healing to people, to set people free, and for that, you know, to do that for the people that we see at the moment. So that's extending our boundaries in terms of we offer inner healing in church, but we don't actually offer healing in the services that we deliver here. So God is actually challenging us and saying he wants us to set people free. So our church is founded on the scripture of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord, the Eternal, is on me. The Lord has appointed me for special purpose. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to repair broken hearts and to declare to those who are held captive and bound in prison, be free from your imprisonment. He has sent me to announce the year of Jubilee, the season of the Eternal's favour. For our enemies, it will be a day of God's wrath, but for those who mourn, it will be a time of comfort. As for those who grieve over Zion, God has said to me to give them a beautiful crown in exchange for ashes, to anoint them with gladness instead of sorrow, and to wrap them in victory, joy, and praise instead of depression and sadness. Now, that is our founding scripture of our church. And, you know, if you read the rest of Isaiah 61, it's equally as powerful about actually rebuilding ancient ruins. So we do actually have a strong history in the church of inner healing and prayer ministry, deliverance, however you want to call it. Over the years, I think it's been called lots of different things, but it's actually all the same thing. Actually, it's about dealing with stuff on the inside of us and to bring freedom with the captives. But God is actually wants us to build on those good foundations that we've got, and to learn new things, or to go with like deeper revelation of these things. So why is God saying this to us? And well, it's because of his love. It's like he loves everyone so much. And, you know, we've been learning about God's love. We've been learning about actually, you know, we used to say that people had to get saved to experience his love, to experience his peace, to experience all the gifts that he's got for us. But actually now we're saying those gifts, those things are for everyone. It doesn't matter whether you have said the prayer of salvation. You know, God's inside of all of us. We may shut him out before, you know, before we actually have a relationship with him, but it doesn't mean to say he's not there. So his love is actually for everyone, even those who don't know that he loves them. Just because somebody doesn't know that they're loved by God doesn't mean to say that his love for them isn't real. Okay, so where he wants us to express that love, he wants us to set people free. Whatever the situation is, whether they know him or not, whether they even choose to know him after they've been set free. So it's unconditional, completely unconditional. And absolutely no agenda. So let's start with what we do know, okay? I'm going to recap a little bit and cover some of the stuff that we've talked about before, maybe sort of remind you of some of the stuff that Mike has shared over the years. And the thing that we really know is that our thought lives are really important, okay? Now, whether we act on that is a different matter, but our thought lives are really important, far more important than we know. And I'm learning this more and more. So what we believe about ourselves and our world is true. Even if what we believe is a lie, it becomes true to us because we make it true. And that could be because of generational patterns and core beliefs. And sometimes we call them pillars or frameworks of our mind, whatever it is on the inside that causes us to behave in a certain way. So for the sake of argument, we'll call them core beliefs. Like I said, we do call them pillars. but they shape our world and our expectations. So just an example, years ago, I guess, you know, I grew up really not thinking very highly of myself. And if someone had said to me, oh, you look nice today, I would not have accepted that at all. Not even a thank you. My reaction would have been suspicion. What do you want? Why are you trying to lie to me and butter me up? Okay, so I could not accept that. And it's taken years of God actually dealing with stuff in me to be able to say, okay, thank you. Yeah. I'm happy to, you know, I'm happy to receive that compliment. I'm not saying that I'm there. I'm not saying that I totally see myself as God sees me, but I am way better than I was before. So, and that's just a tiny example of actually how we see ourselves and what our expectations is in our thoughts is actually what we get. So if I continue to not see myself as, okay, I'm okay. I like myself. I'm happy with myself. I don't look too bad. You know, I look after myself. Then, you know, I could have stayed in that place where I thought of myself as rubbish, as nothing, as worthless. But God's changed that. But at that time, that was true to me. That was, even though it was a lie, it certainly wasn't how God saw me, it was true to me. Okay, so that's just a silly example. But many of us will have those sorts of filters. It's not just me. You know, we've all got filters that filter stuff out, and it could be something little or it could be something massive. So, yeah, our beliefs become a self-fulfilling prophecy if we allow them to. So if we say to ourselves, oh, I don't know, I'm really tired today. I'm just exhausted. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm so tired. Okay, because our words have power and they have a frequency and they resonate, eventually you'll talk yourself into being tired. Or if it's like, actually, I've got a pounding head. You know, one of the worst things I hate is a phrase is like, that's a view to die for. Like, nothing looks good enough to die for in that way. It's just, you know, so we come up with phrases and things, but actually we need to be looking at actually what our thoughts are doing to our bodies. Now, they can be generational. It doesn't mean to say that, you know, it's not just what's happened in our own lifetime, or it could be from our early years. So the past events in our lives play a massive role in how we think. In fact, they play, until we get our minds renewed, that's what's shaped the way we think, either about ourselves or about the world around us and our experience of the world. And particularly in our formative years, we're particularly susceptible to having those thought patterns and those core beliefs developed on the inside of us simply by what we are exposed to. Now, one of the things on this journey that God has got us on is that those core beliefs and those memories primarily sit in our unconscious mind. So, I heard recently that only 5% of our memories are conscious and the rest are stored in the unconscious mind. So that's massive. So it's tricky for us to then look at how do we change that, because it's just an automatic response based on how we've been programmed. If you look at think of like a computer system, we from an early age we've been programmed wrong. You know, all our programming is faulty, if you like. So Jesus told us in Romans 12:2, do not allow this world to mold you in its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you will be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. Now, not only does it affect how we think, But this sort of progress that we're making in this journey that we're on with God, has actually led me to understand at a much deeper level that what we think affects us physically. Now, that's because we store memories in our cells. Okay, I'll cover that in a little bit. So I'm going to just share with you something about this study that took place. It actually took place in the mid-90s, so it was quite a while ago now, and it was undertaken in the United States, and they uncovered this phenomena, or this risk, this exposure, that increased the risk of 7 out of 10 leading causes of death in the USA. In high doses, it affects brain development, the immune system, hormonal systems, and the way our DNA is read and transcribed. With really high doses, there's a triple the lifetime risk of heart disease and lung cancer, and a 20-year life difference in life expectancy. Now, that's fairly profound and quite shocking, but what they discovered was that this exposure was not a chemical or sort of anything out in our environment. It was actually childhood trauma that causes these physical ailments in our bodies. So they manifest in our bodies. But still, doctors aren't trained how to do it. I mean, we're sort of like 2018, and this year, this was new to me. So although in small pockets around the world, they're learning how to deal with this, actually, is not mainstream. And it should be, because actually, it's killing people really young, simply because they've had childhood trauma in their lives. Now, I believe that's probably because they don't know how to get rid of it, but just a few facts, I guess, from this. What they found was for someone with a ACE score, the reason it's called ACE is it's a adverse childhood experience. So with someone with an adverse childhood experience of 4 or more, the risk of developing COPD or hepatitis was 2.5 times higher. That's without any other factors involved. So that's without even the risk of exposure to those things. For depression, it was 4.5 times higher, and the risk of suicide was 12 times higher. That's shocking, absolutely shocking. So there's also triple the lifetime risk of lung cancer and 3.5 times the risk of heart disease, which in the States is the number one killer, and probably in the UK too. So in children, it affects brain development and our immune system, and it affects how our DNA is programmed, and other sort of systems, body systems. Not being a doctor, I couldn't name those systems, but I'm just taking that what they've published is correct. So this study wasn't carried out on people who you think would be at risk of those illnesses. It wasn't people who are likely to be exposed to, COPD, so in terms of high smoking community or any of those things. It was actually, the study was taken from a wide range of people, so I can't remember the exact amount, but it's like thousands of people, and there were 70% of them were Caucasian and 70% were university educated. So you're talking everyday people, not people who just would be exposed to those risks. So a broad range of people. And what they found was these experiences childhood experiences were affecting people across their whole lifetime. So it wasn't just in their childhood, they're more likely to develop meningitis or another childhood illness. It's actually, these people are, because of their exposure at a young age, they're more likely to develop some of these illnesses across their lifetime. So not just in the time that they're experiencing it, but years and years later. And like I said, 20 years less life expectancy. So when our bodies are in fear mode, it's in fight or flight mode, and we've all, you know, heard that phrase before. If that happens continually, and so we're continually exposed to these factors in our lives, then we get stuck in that pattern of being frightened, I guess, that you know, the adrenaline or the and it actually changes the system in our body. So we should be in balance. We should be our parasympathetic system should be in balance. It should be in control. It should be flowing. But if we're in fight or flight, it trips over, and we're not functioning properly. And repeated, continual exposure to that kind of stress in the body then affects our cells. It's stored in our cells. So because we have cellular memory and we know that, you know, our memories aren't stored in our brain, that they're stored in our hearts, but actually what they're also discovering is that they're stored in all the cells of our body. So when there's a weakness in possibly in our generational line, you know, you hear people say, oh, you know, if there's a heart issue in somebody's family, then that's considered a weakness. Those memories can go to the area of weakness in our body, thus setting us up for something in the future. So, and particularly with children, we are, because they're still developing, they're much more at risk of these things getting lodged and causing problems. So if you want to find out more, that was a very poorly described way, you know, understanding of the study that was undertaken all those years ago. There's actually a fantastic lady on a YouTube clip called Nadine Burke Harris. She's a doctor, American doctor. And I would say just look it up. It's just really, it's really interesting if you like that sort of thing, which I do. So those weaknesses for these health issues then get compounded. The more that the stress and the toxins in the body are added to, the more it compounds and increases the risk as we grow. So because of this, you know, we've been looking at, you know, God, what do you want us to do about this? Because this is stress, actually, and not just stress, oh, I'm late for work or I've missed my appointment, but stress in the body in the way that my life is at risk kind of stress, or I believe that my life is at risk kind of stress. And that's actually the toxic emotions that are getting stored in the body. What I've learned so far is that in looking at this is that God is revealing to people that he's created a way for our bodies to get rid of these things, for our bodies to heal on their own. So when our bodies are in balance, so if our parasympathetic system is working correctly and our cells are in healthy growth mode, then it can fight off illnesses. It can fight off everyday diseases. And the sort of things I'm talking about are the chronic illnesses that we're getting and being diagnosed with. And repeatedly, if you go to the doctor, the sort of things where they'll give you a tablet, they can't make it go away, but they can possibly ease the symptoms for you, maybe. And possibly even give you some other side effect symptoms as well. just into the bargain. So he's calling us, you know, on this journey. He's sort of sharing stuff with us that other people have discovered. So it's not what we've discovered. It's actually what he's revealed to other people, and he's expanding on our thinking with it. He's expanding our understanding of it to help us to see what direction he wants us to go in. So he wants us to adapt and take on some of this revelation that other people have received from him to be able to really help set people free. So as I've said, our memories are stored in the cells of our bodies. And those toxic memories and experiences can create physical illnesses. So we're not just talking, because we were talking memories and things, you know, the automatic reaction is, yes, it can create mental illness. And it can, you know, it also affects us that way, without a doubt. But it's not just mental illness. It's physical illness that it causes as well. So quite often, some of these things are actually labelled as New Age. Now, I just want to expand a little bit on this because for me, God's been really opening my eyes and looking at actually what's his. And Dave's got a fabulous saying. It's all God's donuts. So that, to me, you know, to me that is actually God is the creator. God created us and our bodies, okay, to work in perfect flow with him and to work in perfect flow within our systems. So we're not, you know, he didn't, although doctors are fabulous, don't get me wrong, and they do some amazing things, and I know that they've got heart to see people healed, okay, I don't think any of them would be able to stand up and say that they could cure someone. Not really. And God, because God's actually created us to for our bodies to right itself. And because we're just piling all the stress on into our lives, we're then not in a place where we can actually heal ourselves. And, you know, because of that, there are things that he's revealed over the years for ways to for us to help get us back into balance and to be able to get rid of stuff. I mean, even the Bible, you know, constantly is saying, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And, you know, there are references throughout the Bible that talks about actually how to maintain good health. And that's not just because, oh, well, if you do that, you're a good Christian, so therefore you're following God nicely. It's actually, it's because it's healthy for us, not because it's like we're doing the right thing, because it's what God said. He's told us, and he said it, so that we would be healthy, not so that we could, you know, be like, oh, yeah, we're following the rules. And when it comes to, you know, some of the things that I've been sort of looking at, you know, I've obviously been praying about it and looking at it, and, you know, I strongly feel that what he is saying is, you know, I've revealed these things to people. Just because the church community didn't necessarily pick it up when it was first revealed doesn't mean to say that it doesn't come from me. So I will leave you with that one. That's entirely up to you, between you and God. But, you know, our traditional prayer ministry, you know, our inner healing sessions that we've done in the past, although fabulous, and I have deeply benefited from this, I really have, and hands up, and I would say I'm so grateful for the prayer that I've received over the years. But it doesn't necessarily deal with stuff on a cellular level. It doesn't actually deal with that trauma that's stored in our cells. And sometimes, you know, it comes to the surface. Jesus reveals something and he puts his finger on it and, you know, it comes up. And, you know, that's fabulous. But what he's saying is that he wants us to be able to do that for each and every situation. And you know, it's such good news. The fact that we live with these chronic illnesses. We accept them almost as part of daily life. We live with poor mental health. We live with, you know, anything from personality disorder to anxiety. You know, and the whole everything in between, from heart disease and lung cancer and all those things. You know, we live with those. We accept those as, well, it's just part of, you know, it just happens. And actually, we shouldn't accept those things. You know, this is good news, and that actually, if we get healing at a cellular level, we're not only actually becoming who we're created to be and being able to walk in our destinies, but we're actually then becoming whole. We're not actually at the mercy of all these illnesses. So he wants us to go deeper with this. So some of the things I've been reading about and researching, energy psychology, mind biology psychology, so the connection and how these toxic memories affect the body, fractured parts, mindfulness, essential oils, all sorts of bits and pieces. And I'm sure that God will reveal more. That's just the start for us. So I believe that he's calling us to expand our beliefs and to expand actually what he's given us, the tools that he's given us to use. And I'm not suggesting that we become Buddhists or anything like that. Okay. What I'm suggesting is that, you know, God is the source, the absolute source. And just because other people have picked it up doesn't mean to say God doesn't want to give us the truth about some of these things that he's created to be, rather than adopting something that somebody else has picked up and run with, maybe in a different direction. So we need to know, what is God saying to us about this? Not let's copy someone else. What's God saying that how we do this? And, you know, the way he built the human body, you know, to be able to understand that from a holistic viewpoint, from his viewpoint, you know, if the cells in our bodies actually in healthy mode are able to fight off any sickness or disease, you know, that's the way God created us. That's fantastic. It's amazing. I'm so excited by that. So when our systems get out of balance, the cellular memories, the trauma in the cells, means that the cells are in constant stress. Okay? And this is Stanford University were the ones that, I don't know whether they were the first one to say it, but they certainly are the ones that posted it on Google. A cell in growth and healing mode is impervious to disease. Wow. You know, like really wow. You know, like seriously think about that. You know, if we are in healthy growth mode, so we're not carrying stress, we're not carrying, our systems aren't out of balance, there are no, you know, there's nothing that floats around, there's nothing that the enemy can give to us that will affect our bodies. We fight it off. Amazing. Absolutely. Like stunning amazing. Okay, so we don't have to live like this. We've been living a lie. We've been accepting stuff that we don't have to accept. It's absolutely fantastic. So this is the scripture that God gave to the health mountain. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. To me, that links our soul prosperity, okay, with our health. So if we prosper in our soul, then our health prospers. And I don't think that just means that we're healthy either. I think that actually in all areas, you know, in blessing, it's like all those things, because what we think about, we attract that to us. Our thoughts have frequency as much as our words have frequency, because and they're living and active. And so what we think about, we'll get. I know from experience that actually when I was really poorly and I was in a lot of pain, you just get so selfish simply because you need to focus on yourself in order to be, to function. You just get sidetracked. You're not actually operating in who you should be. All you're doing is thinking about, I feel awful all the time. And it just then, but then you perpetuate it. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You just go over and over and you attract it to you. Whereas actually, if you think on things above, if you ponder the wonders of God, if you're actually engaging in heaven, or if you're believing truth And truth has its own frequency, a high frequency. That is truth as in from God, not truth in what I believe. Okay, as in truth, what God says is true. So that truth, okay, has a much higher frequency. And if we're pondering on that, if we're focusing on that, we're then not focusing on all the rubbish stuff. We're not focusing on, oh, you know, I'm so tired today, I'm so worn out. You know, we're actually focusing on him. We're focusing on what he says about us, and we're starting to align ourselves with what he says is true, because that's absolute truth, not just daily fact. So I'll go through a few things that we are looking at, and it's not exhaustive, and I'm sure that God's going to introduce all sorts of things, but I will also say that a lot of it overlaps. So there's a lot of crossover, if you like, because God wants to give us tools to be able to use. And those tools will, you know, some things will work for some people, or God might open a door in one area and then we'll use something else that he's shown us. So it's not just different little pockets of things. It's actually tools that we can adapt and use as long as we're actually focused on God. Okay, because he is our source and he is the one that's going to set us free, because we flow from him. And part of the process is helping people to connect with that truth on the inside. Now, forgiveness therapy is a therapy that was developed by Marketplace Ministries in Totnes. And it's actually been designed for non-Christians. Okay. Now, some of you might be like, shock, horror, because, you know, it's like, well, why would we do that? But actually, we're doing that because, as I said before, God wants to set everyone free, not just people that already know him. His love extends to everyone, okay? And this is one of the ways to help set people free. So unforgiveness is just toxic to us. It's one of those toxic emotions, resentment, bitterness, judgment, you know, but unforgiveness is just crucial. You know, and it says, you know, in scriptures is that, you know, you'll be in the torture chamber if you hold on to unforgiveness. And that's not because God's going to talk to you. And I know that actually in the past, it's been read that and shared that, well, you know, you'll be in the torture chamber. And that means like, oh, well, God's going to throw you in the torture chamber. It's not that. It's that actually, it is actually torturous. If you hold on to unforgiveness, it's so bad for you. And so God is saying, just let go of it. And we've had teaching on forgiveness, and that's really great. But there are a lot of people out there who haven't had the benefit of that teaching. And some of them are obviously still in church, but some of them who are unchurched, if you like, or maybe even have run away from church in the past, you know, they need to know that forgiveness will actually help set them free. And this is what that starts to do. And the course is actually up to 12 weeks long, so no more than 12 weeks. And we've actually done some training on this. A few of us have done some training. And in the future, we are actually looking at becoming a forgiveness therapy centre. So that will be inviting people in to go through this therapy. It's actually a talking therapy. But in no way, shape or form. No, actually, no, that's not true. That's not true. So what is true is that we don't use the words Jesus, God or Holy Spirit. Okay. But we do speak about him in the way that people can connect with him. So some people might say my angel or my spirit guide or something. It's whatever's true to them. Okay. But because it's a Christian therapy, even though we're not going to sort of bang people over the head with Jesus, it's we are actually inviting him into that place where people are saying that's their safe place. Whatever their safe place is, actually we're inviting Jesus in. So when we're in that environment, when we're in the room, the therapy room, then Jesus is actually that safe place. Now, some people may go through the whole course, and I know that Marketplace have been doing this for a couple of years now, and they've trained up other centres as well. And some people will actually realise that what they're experiencing is beyond anything they've experienced before, and it's Jesus. And some people might just actually go through the process, be healed, because people have been healed from this process, even if they don't acknowledge Jesus. That's because his love is unconditional. So it's not, I'll heal you if you proclaim that I am king. It's, I love you so much, I will heal you. Okay? And we don't know actually at what stage somebody is in their journey with God. And that's not up to us to know. It's not up to us to force people to believe in him. It's up to us to do what God says that we need to do and leave the rest up to him. Okay? So we're looking at becoming a forgiveness therapy centre. Like I said, they're at the very core, but they're not discussed. So the other thing that we've been looking at is wholeness therapy. Now, that's just sort of a working title, if you like, because we've been learning about stuck parts over the past few years, and how sometimes we get stuck because of these adverse childhood experiences, because of these childhood trauma. We actually get stuck and fractured. So parts of us. So we have lots of inner children, if you like, running rampant, having tantrums on the inside, misbehaving, all those things, and we've all got them. Okay, it's not that it's just a few people have them, we all have them. Okay, and some of them are more obvious than others. I've had my own obvious ones. And you know, God just wants to heal that. God wants to bring us into wholeness. And what he means by that is to actually heal the hurt that caused the fracture in the first place. And then help that part to grow to maturity. So that actually it can be part of our core self and not have this sort of little person creating all sorts of havoc on the inside. So these traumas fracture our souls into parts and we stay stuck. And we've done this, it's been a part of lie busting that we've been doing for quite a few years now. But also we're understanding that it's a much bigger ministry or a much bigger healing modality on its own. And there's lots that we've got to learn about this, and we're still to learn about this. But I know that God's going to teach us. And for some people, that might be relevant to them. That might be a way in of actually receiving healing. And again, I think God wants us to do it sometimes in ways that is acceptable to people who aren't Christians, because again, he still wants to see them set free. And you know, you can use different language, but ultimately, if you know on the inside that you're talking about Jesus, the rock, the source, our daddy, our father in heaven, okay, that's the intent that it's flowing with, because we know he's the one. And some people might call it other things, but actually we know that when we're ministering to someone, when we're healing someone, when we're administering a therapy, then it's Jesus who's doing this. So we have much to learn about this still. The other thing that we've been talking about and looking at is mindfulness, and that's something that I think is actually quite important in a, it is actually quite a new age thing, if you like. It's been they do say that the it started off from Buddha. So, and you know, maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but even if it did, whoever picked it up first was hearing something from God. It doesn't mean just, you know, it was like they just tuned into it more than Christians who were frightened most of the time. So one of the things that I looked at this for is because, you know, so many of us just don't know what's going through our minds. We're not conscious of it, or we're not aware of it, I should say. And, you know, that could be an inner voice, okay, constantly telling us that we're rubbish. Or it could be something that is constantly reminding us of something silly that we did. Or something like, you look rubbish today. You're really awful. Nobody likes you. You know, it could be anything. Whatever those things are, okay? Now, that would be possibly even a stuck part that's talking to us and replaying something that it believes about itself because of a trauma that happened years ago. Okay? So these things are all interlinked. Now, it might not be a stuck part. It might be something else. You know, we know that actually we have an enemy as well that wants to try and mess us up. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, we can't do that if we're actually not aware of what's floating through our minds. Or even if we actually, you know, we could actually get into agreement with it. We could be like, yes, you're right, I am rubbish. And that's just a fat lie. It's just like we're believing stuff that's untrue about ourselves, and we're allowing that to shape us and form how we behave and our view of the world, how, you know, how we live our lives. So if we were truly aware of how to do that, our thoughts already would line up with his thoughts. And they don't. You know, you just got to look around. There is nobody who's operating like that. But I believe that he wants us to learn how to take every thought captive. And one of the things that, you know, I've looked at is that actually I had an experience recently. We did a mindfulness course here, which was actually really good fun. And I was looking at something. I was feeling a particular way and I was looking at it. And it was, it's a form of meditation, really. It's, you know, it's the basis of meditation for some people. So it's the kind of renamed it. And it's about looking at things a step away, almost. So stopping and rather being absorbed by and agreeing with what's going on, you're actually looking at it from a different perspective. So you take a step back and you're having a look. It's like, how am I being with this? You know, I noticed that actually one of the things you start off with is this body scan. So you're actually really just put your awareness in your body. And you can start with your toes, and you know, it's quite therapeutic. Quite often I fell asleep, but I realized that I had lots of pain in my knees that I just got used to. So through this journey I'm realizing that actually I've probably got some stuck trauma somewhere, and it's probably lodged itself in my knees. Okay, it sounds weird, but actually I'm hopeful that at some point in the future I'm going to get healed from that, because whatever thing is causing that pain, that discomfort, is actually going to go. And I remember having not being able to do cross country at school, which actually wasn't a bad thing for me. So possibly I did actually come into agreement with it, because it did get me like get out of cross country free card every winter, you know, when we had to run through the mud. So I probably have to break some agreements that I made with the fact that my knees were hurting. But you know, there's other things that we did on where we looked at, actually, I'm feeling like this. Why am I feeling like this? And then I realized that actually, if I took a step back and had a deeper look, there was also this other. I could see God's presence in this, even though really my mind was just focused on this. I'm just feeling rubbish about this. When I took a step back, for me, I could see Jesus in the picture. And he then actually came and dealt with that I was feeling. Or I could have chosen to just be like, I'm rubbish, I'm feeling rubbish, I'm feeling yucky about this, I don't like it, it's horrible. But actually, because I stopped and I chose to take a step back and to actually look at it from his perspective, I was then able to look, actually, there's other things at work here. And so I wasn't caught up in that, you know, junkiness going around in my head. So this can lead to guided meditation as well. So one of the things that we'll be looking at is actually doing mindfulness and helping people just to be able to get to that place of rest and that peace. You know, we talk about actually, oh, let's just rest in him. Well, what if your head's going 100 miles an hour all the time? How on earth do you rest in him? Really? I mean, it's just like, it's one of those things that we just say. But how do you do it? How do you stop that stuff going on in your head all the time so that you can actually rest in him? And people need to learn this stuff. We all need to learn this stuff, because you know, we know that we can find rest and peace in him, that he is our safe place, he's our source. From him the life flows. But if we're just running around like headless chickens and agreeing with all the rubbish going on in our heads, then we're not going to get that place of rest. we're not going to receive from him. We're just going to just perpetuate the problem. So we will look at doing guided meditations and really just trying to help people to slow their minds down and actually be able to look at actually what's going on. And potentially that could help then identify some of the issues, some of the past issues. Potentially. So essential oils. Now, I know that both Alice and Val Trout have been sharing about essential oils for a number of years now. And so, you know, God's already got us on this journey of essential oils. And I'm just starting out on this journey. But I have learned so much already, because all these things are about frequency. You know, thoughts have frequency. And if they're negative thoughts, they have a much lower frequency. So if we're thinking positive thoughts, if we're thinking God's thoughts about us, they have a much higher frequency. And plants, living things, have frequency. Plastic, not so much. So it's kind of like, you know, it's living things. It's stuff that God created, okay, to have life and just be full of him has a really high frequency. And we want to resonate with that higher frequency. So we've been exploring essential oils, and it's quite an exciting topic, and I'm sure other people can share much more about it. But we've got a lot to learn about it. We really have. You know, it's a science all by itself, of actually, because I don't know how to describe it other than what I'm learning is that they're greater than the sum of their parts. So you might look at it and think, there's a squash bit of flower, or a squash bit of tree, or a bit of bark, oil, or something. You know, it's a plant, okay? But actually, it's more than that. It's got life in it, and it's got healing properties in it that God put there for our use. He's given us these things to help us deal with all the toxins in our bodies, and not just from, you know, the environment, but those toxic cellular memories, so that they can be released, because they have a high frequency. And, you know, a couple of us have been trained to offer aroma touch technique, which is using essential oils. And it's when I was talking about systems in our body, you know, where the flow of energy goes through our body, the Vitaflex points, this actually applies the oils onto those points in the body, so on the back and the feet, and incorporates touch, which is really important. And just really to bring temporarily, I guess, really in this case, things back, the system back into alignment, rather than it being out of flow. Yeah, so it's the nervous system. It works on the nerves in the body to bring it, the parasympathetic nervous system. So the other thing that we're looking at is releasing toxic emotions. Now, there's a couple of us currently being trained in this therapy or modality, and it's about using the essential oils actually to be able to release some of these cellular memories that have got stuck. Okay, and it's actually a Christian thing, so very much led by prayer, and so being used in the Christian community, but who knows what God will say in the future. And the oils actually help to release things at a sort of unconscious or subconscious level that are trapped inside that we're not necessarily aware of, and bring those up. And it's because of, like I said, frequency of the oils that that causes it to release. And I will share a little bit more about this in a while. So plus the other things that we're looking at, identity and thought therapies. You know, just being able to pinpoint, you know, those thoughts in our minds that continually play a significant role in how we behave, so, or think. And what is it that's robbing us of our identity or even our destiny? You know, those thoughts that go round, if you're in agreement with stuff that's actually contrary to who you actually are in Christ, then you're just believing a lie continuously. And sometimes, we could use essential oils for this. We've looked at the crystal singing bowls. So, you know, potentially they might be incorporated in some of this. So we're actually just looking at doing what God's calling us to do with this. So energy healing. The toxic memories in our body can be released sometimes with mind-body techniques. Now, I'm just starting sort of discovering this, really, and I know that we've got somebody coming later on in the year that will actually share her story a bit more about this. But it's just interesting, you know, the way stress can be held in the body, and it could be, you know, in the form of actually you've got perpetually tight shoulders, or like I was saying, my knees hurt, or it could be that, you know, you had a strain somewhere in your leg, something to do with a tendon or a muscle or a ligament. You know, that could actually be stored toxic memories that actually are making that weaker than it actually is. And so, again, exploring that, going where God's going to take us, who knows where that will be, just that we just need to, you know, I'm just in the process of saying yes to him with this. I'm just learning, I'm just going with it, and just thinking, actually, God, wherever you take me with this, you know, that's fine. I just need to get my head out of the way. So I believe that energy healing is being reclaimed for God, for use in the kingdom. So some of the previously stolen mythologies are becoming available to us as he created our bodies to be healed using frequencies and energies. So it's really exciting, actually. I'm finding it really exciting that he's opening doorways for us to go down that we've just not even touched on before. And actually, probably in fairness, have probably run the other direction before, because we believe, because the enemy claimed a lot of this stuff so wholeheartedly and stamped his name all the way across it, we've just run from it. And God is saying, actually, I've created all these things. I created your body to be able to receive these things. So we need to relearn from him how to do that, how to engage with what he's saying and actually be set free. So the and beyond. So I did say at the beginning that the drop-in and beyond, because actually this is not about what we're doing in the drop-in. Not really. That's just the start. You know, God wants us to have a go on each other. He wants us to set each other free, to be able to actually release all those stored toxic memories, to be able to become into wholeness. Because it's not just, oh, we feel a bit pants. Actually, what it means is that we're not in alignment with our destiny. We don't know who we are, because we're not actually fulfilling we're not in our identity in Christ, because a lot of these things will be actually come against who God says we are. A lot, you know, these things will stand against you know, I am a child of God. You know, I am loved. I am precious. You know, he designed me from the very beginning. You know, if I'm not in agreement with any of those things, or all of those things, plus anything else that he sings over us, that he's spoken into us with his breath from the beginning of time, if we don't know those things, in fact, if we're agreeing with opposite things, you know, we're not in our identity. We're not who we're supposed to be. And, you know, we've covered a lot of this. You know, we have a transformation series that Mike's done that was just like 6 months long. You know, it's just like there's so much information that we have on our website that covers a lot of this. Okay, but sometimes we need somebody to get alongside us and to help us with this. Sometimes we need someone to interpret this for us. Sometimes we need to stand together as a community and say, okay, let's do this together. Let's set each other free, okay? And that then, like, what's that thingy in the brain thing? No, I'm pinky in the brain. What's that? No. Try and take over the world. Okay. So it's just like, actually, you know, because actually we're born for such a time as this. Actually, we're here to expand the kingdom, not to limp through life, exhausted and dried up. It's just like, no. And so, you know, God has been introducing me to people who don't know him, who are actually searching in other areas, but they're looking for healing. They're looking actually to live a life of fullness and wholeness. And it's like we're carrying on our little Christian way, just ministering to people in our Christian world, ignoring everybody out there who actually needs help. You know, we need to extend. We need to actually be looking and encompassing other people and saying, we can help with that. And so that is the beyond. You know, this doesn't stop with us. It doesn't stop just, actually, let's do a few things in the day centre. This goes way beyond that. This is like, let's transform the world. I heard something recently that said that if trauma release in its various forms that I've discussed was dealt with over the next two generations, okay, by the end of that second generation, the world would be transformed. Because people would be walking in their destiny. People would know who they are. And we'd be actually doing what we need to do instead of just like getting up every morning and drudging through life. It's like, that's not a way to live. That's not what we're designed to live for. Okay, we're designed to take this and actually set people free and to live our destiny. And so that's the beyond. I've actually just done an application form to go to the hospital to be a volunteer in the chaplaincy department. And realistically speaking, I do not have time to do this. My days are packed. You know, I could tell you what I do for every second of the day, okay, and it's not sat down doing nothing. Okay. But in my heart, I know that actually I want to go up to that hospital and I want to take what God is revealing in me up there to them. I want to bring life. Okay, because our NHS, okay, they do the best they can, okay, and there are some doctors and nurses out there who are just amazing. Their heart is to see people healed, but they don't have the tools. You know, they just want to give people chemicals or chop them up. Don't get me wrong, I'm just joking there, because actually surgery is life-saving, and I totally understand that it is life-saving, okay? I'm not saying that it's not, because it absolutely is. Okay, but if they had the answers, okay, if modern science, if modern medicine had the answers, we wouldn't be under such pressure as we are now. The NHS is groaning under the pressure. And I just think that actually as Christians, okay, we might not be able to take the world by storm tomorrow, but actually if we're practicing what we know and walking it out, you know, in 10 years' time, things could look so different. And this is not just about health, okay? This encompasses every part of our blueprint. This is good news. This is amazing news, okay? This is freedom. We're setting the captives free. Okay, this is the blessing of God, okay? This is for our community. This is for all of us. It's not just for people who come in and say they want to have their be prayed for. It's so much bigger than that. This is for every part of our blueprint because we need to touch people's lives in a positive way. We need to set people free. It's just, you know, done that. Okay, right. So now for a really exciting bit, okay. In 3 months' time, so at the beginning of August, we have this lady coming. She's the one whose course we're doing. She's an American lady and she's based in Idaho in the States. And she's coming over here. It's the first time she's come to England or to Britain to do this, to share what she's learned. And she's coming on the 3rd and 4th of August. Okay? So we're going to have a seminar here. All right? So it's for us. Okay? And this is what she says. This is some of her... this is what she's going to share. So, when our body is vibrating at its optimum frequency, we are in a state of health. When our frequency is lowered due to stress, toxins, and trapped emotions, different parts of our body become disharmonious and we enter into a diseased state. Toxic emotions are oftentimes the source of emotional pain, relational difficulties, and physical illness. By releasing toxic emotions, you will come into a place of rest for your soul and health for your body. The technique taught to release toxic emotions involves prayer, the laying on of hands, and the use of therapeutic-grade essential oils, which is actually incorporates everything that I've shared today. Okay, and that's just one thing that God is showing. But Carrie is an amazing lady, and she has got this fantastic journey, which I believe that she will share parts of that with us when she comes over. So these are the things that she will be sharing on Friday. So it's going to be a Friday evening, so 7 o'clock start for registration to 9:30. And it's going to be a paid for event. So it's going to cost about £36 for both, to include Saturday, Friday and Saturday. And she's going to cover holistic healing, so spirit, soul and body, trapped emotions and health issues, early childhood trauma, causes and effects of wounding, breaking generational programs and overcoming addictions. So that's the Friday topics that she's going to cover. And then Saturday is a much longer day. So we've got restoration of the ancient paths, her journey into quantum physics. So a lot of what the sort of energy healing is actually being proven in quantum physics. Redeeming energy medicine for the kingdom of God, healing laws of the Bible, releasing toxic shame, healing the nervous system, the technique itself, which is what we're learning, and rewriting your story. So that I know that she also covers things like timeline and stuff like that, which is another potential therapy, if you like, that we could use to set people free. And so, you know, this is very much what God is calling us to. It's very much based on what He's saying that he wants to share with the world. And so it's not just us doing this. This is, there are pockets of people all over the world that are doing this, that, you know, are possibly even years ahead of us with this. And actually it's time that, you know, we sort of grabbed hold of this to take it wider. So I want to invite you to think about this seminar. If you want to come, that's fine. Tickets will be on sale from next week. We will send an email out when they're ready, and it will be through Eventbrite. Okay, because it won't be just available for us here. We'll be for people who've been coming on the intensives and the conferences, we're opening it up for them, and also the Engaging God program and wider. So very quickly this will sell out. So what we're going to do is give the church generally an option to purchase tickets before it goes on general sale, before we start publicising it. We will have some volunteer vacancies for the day, which will actually get you a free ticket. So if anybody's interested in volunteering, it will involve work, not just coming in and wearing a volunteer badge. It will involve actual jobs, but you will get an opportunity to see the seminar. It just means that you might be busy in between. Have a ponder about that. But you will have an option to buy tickets next week. And we will send out an email if you're interested. Okay. Right. I think that's me done. Did I miss anything there, Jeremy, with that? The seminar? No. We will actually give more information by email. So there will be more information. But I'm really, really excited by this, because actually Carrie has been wanting to come to the UK for a long time. And, you know, God has chosen for her to come here, which is actually really exciting, and she's such a lovely lady. There will actually also be opportunity to receive, to pay for a healing session with her. And the sessions are 3 hours long, so it's quite intense, but actually I'm sure well worth it. It's about £100, roughly, because it's I think she said it's usually $150, so yeah, it's about £100, just over. And that will be on a first come, first serve basis. So there won't actually be that many sessions available because she's coming for a week, because they last for 3 hours. So if you want one of those sessions, I can't guarantee it, but if you put your name down and if we can fit you in, or she can fit you in, then you can. And the money for that, so that will go directly to Carrie. You pay her directly at the time if you manage to get an appointment. But so have a think of that, ponder that, see what God's saying to you about it. If there's anything there that you want to speak to me about that I've shared today, then I'm happy to talk about it.